Hello, Eugenie here. Today we are speaking with homeopath and educator Susanna Shelton. So before Susanna discovered homeopathy, she worked in medical research at Johns Hopkins Medical School and the University of Virginia Medical School in the USA. Her lifelong interest in spirituality, however, led her to Scotland, where she completed a postgrad degree in theology at St. Andrews University, as well as postgrad work at Harvard Divinity School. Midway through her theological training, she was introduced to homeopathy, and after a great personal response to treatment, she decided to pursue formal training in homeopathy with the National Center of Homeopathy in the USA and the College of Homeopathy in London in the 1980s. Susanna has previously taught at various colleges in New Zealand, including the Wellington College of Homeopathy, the Hahnemann College in Auckland, and Bay of Plenty College of Homeopathy in Tauranga, which is where I studied. So she co-founded a journal for the New Zealand homeopathic profession called Homeopathy News, as well as serving on the NZQA expert panel on homeopathy, and she set up Selene Homeopathics in Tauranga, which supplies quality homeopathic remedies to the profession and the community. I used to buy a lot of my remedies there when I used to live in Tauranga, so yeah, it's a great little shop. In 2004, Susanna was a guest tutor in homeopathy at Hong Kong University and later that year became owner and principal of Sydney College of Homeopathic Medicine. Susanna took a few years sabbatical from homeopathy before returning this year as the director of the College of Natural Health and Homeopathy. Susanna's vision for the profession has been and remains to have the highest level of homeopathic treatment available to the greatest number of people and animals and plants at a reasonable cost to the consumer and a professional level of remuneration to the practitioners. She sees the college as a key player in this vision as it works with a wider community to make it happen. It was certainly wonderful to speak with her today because even though our paths didn't quite cross while I was studying at the college where she is now the director once again, I had so many handouts which had her name on and I've always known about her all these years. So it was very special for me to get to have a chat with her today. I'm sure you'll enjoy this interview. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout podcast, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangouts. Today, we are speaking with homeopath and educator and director of the College of Natural Health and Homeopathy in New Zealand, Susanna Shelton. Welcome, Susanna.
Oh, it's great to be here, Eugenie. And first of all, I want to just acknowledge you as one of our graduates from the College of Natural Health and Homeopathy, which is based in New Zealand, but has students all over the world and distinguished graduates like yourself. It's great to connect with you and see what you're doing to further the interest in homeopathy and, of course, getting great results as a practitioner, because that speaks volumes. But it's lovely to chat with you today. I'll just contextualize a little bit because I love to tell stories as part of my educational strategy, I guess. And because I think stories for me are also the things that profoundly have influenced me. And with my journey with homeopathy, it started back in Scotland in the early 1980s. And I was actually studying at the University of St. Andrews. I had begun my undergraduate studies in religious studies and also medicine. And I had ended up in a fellowship of divinity at St. Andrews. But I still had a huge excitement about the scientific method. I hadn't given up on science or conventional medicine, except that I personally suffered from eczema. And a good friend of mine was a medical student, and she saw that I was using a lot of steroid creams for the treatment of the eczema that I'd had since birth. And it was effective up to a point. It would take away the inflammation, the itching, but you had to keep applying it all the time. And in my own case, I found that the longer I'd been using the topical steroids, the hydrocortisone creams, the more I had to use in order to get the results. So my friend said, you really should look at something alternative. And I said, oh, no, that's not for me. I wasn't even open to this suggestion. And she said, well, what about homeopathy? Would you consider homeopathy? Never heard of it. And as an American by birth and culture and education, I was like, well, you know, if it was any good, we'd have it in the States. And she said, well, look, the Queen uses it. So if it's good enough for the Queen, it's good enough for you. And I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe I should have a look at it. Anyway, long story short is that I ended up consulting with a homeopath for my chronic eczema. And I was in my early 20s and I, you know, had this since birth. I had one series of remedies that this woman who was a homeopath and happened to also be a midwife and a registered nurse. And she was very thorough in her analysis of my symptoms. But she wanted to know all kinds of things about me as a person. And she came up with a prescription. And I was still extremely skeptical that it would work. But I'd made a bet with my friend. I'll give it 2 weeks. And then you can stop talking about alternative medicine. And she said, yeah, deal. Anyway, the story was that I took the first homeopathic medicine and I did it exactly as instructed. And the next morning I woke up wide awake, feeling like I had been plugged into the mains power, really energetic. And this was unusual for me at the time because I used to have two alarm clocks that I hid in different places of my bedroom because I would have to set them for 5-minute interval between them and I would have to get up and turn them off. And that would make me get out of bed. So the fact is I hadn't set the alarm because I was on holidays and had seen the homeopath. But I woke up feeling fantastic. And I thought, coincidence, nothing to do with those little white pills that I took from the homeopath. But then I noticed that not only was my energy better and better, but my eczema completely disappeared within the first 2 weeks.
Wow.
So I thought, something's going on here. This is very, very impressive. So even though I was studying for a master's degree at the time, I started reading about homeopathy on the side, as it were. And then I was able to discover that there was a homeopathic college in London. And the format of that college was 1 weekend of attending face-to-face lectures per month for 10 months of the year. So even though I lived right up the far north of the United Kingdom, it's St. Andrews in Scotland, I used to take the train to London once a month and study homeopathy. So I did that for a year before I transferred into a full-time program that they had. So then that was a 4 days a week proposition. And I absolutely enjoyed my training and I became completely immersed in homeopathy. And I got a taste even at the very beginning with the inspiration of my tutors to start teaching homeopathy myself. So really, that's the story of how I got involved. And really, not only inspired by the potential and possibilities of homeopathy as a therapy, but also homeopathy as a discipline, because I was so impressed by the methodical and precise documentation that the homeopathic community had been involved in since the very beginning of the therapy with Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, who's a German physician that some of your audience may be aware of. And so it appealed to my scientific sensibilities, having worked actually in medical research as part of my undergraduate program, and really having a respect for thorough investigation of, of ideas. And what I found in homeopathy was this incredible resource about the medicines, what they were useful for, as well as a lot of case histories that had been collected and published with internal peer review in the profession for over a century and a half.
Yep. Amazing.
And I just use those as guidance as well. So a lot of those case histories where you could say were a story or an anecdote, but when you added up the massive anecdotal evidence, you could see that there was very clear indications of when and how to use the remedies.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
So that, and that journey with the, at the college in London, it did inspire me to teach myself, but also to be a lifelong learner. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly learning more from my colleagues and from my patients.
Absolutely.
And it will never disappoint me in terms of my interest in ongoing learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. Speaking of learning, I said to you before we started that we just missed each other at the College of Natural Health and Homeopathy in New Zealand, because you left just before I graduated. And but I had so many documents and handouts and things that always had your name on this. And I was like, who's this Susanna Shelton lady? She really knows her stuff, because her handouts are amazing. And there were always beautiful mind maps, and yeah, it's just so thorough. So I wonder if you can maybe tell us the journey about the College of Natural Health and Homeopathy, how you got in there, left for a little bit, and then came back.
Yes, yes. So in terms of journeys in life, you know, you do have chapters. And my chapter with formal education of homeopaths really began 30 years ago in New Zealand. However, even prior to that, as a student in London, I got really excited about teaching first aid classes, particularly to pregnant women. And that's one of the little like specialties that I developed, really, was supporting pregnant, birthing, and postpartum using homeopathy. So I did a lot of my initial teaching gigs, if you will, were at birth preparation classes, where people wanted to know about how they might use homeopathy for minor indispositions of pregnancy, and also to help with the birth experience. And a lot of those people I engaged with, it became their homeopath, and helping them with issues that had arisen or gotten worse during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky to be invited to a lot of births at hospital as well as home births. So the education was grassroots in those days. But it came an opportunity to be part of formal homeopathic education when I moved to New Zealand in 1991. Mm-hmm. I had a long association, you know, with that college and building it up. We had an initial faculty of three people. And then by the time that I left, I think we had over 25 professionals teaching homeopathy for people as well as for animals. And a part of the curriculum, too, that I was really quite interested in solidifying and growing was also our appreciation of medical sciences. So, Eugenie, you would know that you had to study anatomy and physiology.
Absolutely.
Also pathophysiology.
Yeah.
Where you included like the common diagnostic tools used mm-hmm. in conventional medicine, and also the typical conventional medicines that are used for conditions and what their common side effects are, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that you would understand also what forces were at work in the treatment plan when someone came to see you as a client.
Mm-hmm. When they're talking about symptoms, you also know whether it's a possibility, the symptom that they're experiencing could be a side effect of the drug or actually their own personal symptoms. So it really is important having the background knowledge of the drugs and their interactions.
So that you can differentiate
Absolutely.
Between those.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. And, you know, this is something that happens commonly in practice, where someone presents with their the thing that they're most worried about, or the presenting complaint, is actually a side effect of a medication they may have taken for a short time or for a long time. Mm-hmm. And probably the one that your listeners would be very familiar with is like gut upsets that occur after a course of antibiotics, mm-hmm. where the antibiotic treatment is not selective, and therefore you get problems with the good bacteria, if you will, in the gut. And sometimes things go out of kilter. And as you and I know, there are definitely approaches that we can use homeopathically to help with those situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're back at the college now?
Yes, yes. So I had a bit of a sabbatical, if you will, for a couple of years, where I decided to take a break from homeopathy and got involved in tourism. And fortunately, that came to an end with being able to sell my tourism business just before the COVID-19 epidemic. And as I was winding up that enterprise, the current owners or the current past owners of the college approached me and said, you know, would you consider coming back? And it was an opportunity that I had a look at and decided yes, because in many ways, homeopathy is not just an interest, but an ongoing passion or vocation, if you will. It's almost like a calling. And even as when I was running tours, I was often having people use homeopathy, like arnica, for instance, for soreness or for falls and those kind of things. And I would offer it to them as an option. So yeah, some good experiences using it in the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think homeopaths ever retire. I think once you're hooked, that's it. You're stuck in it for life.
Yes.
So you you quickly touched on some of the subjects there that students can expect to learn about, the medical sciences. But what other topics do you have at the college? So what other subjects do you have? And could you maybe tell our listeners a little bit, because I know a few of my listeners listening are considering studying homeopathy. So what study options do you have? Do you offer it internationally? I know the answer just for our listeners. Do you offer it internationally? What sort of options do you have? And maybe touch a little bit more on the animal homeopathy as well, because people are probably going, what?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, good. Good. Oh, there's plenty to talk about. But what we did with developing the curriculum for our homeopathy college is that we also benchmarked it to what was happening internationally. And but our big innovation in New Zealand at the time, this is back in 1991, is that we introduced distance learning options as well as face-to-face classes. And this was a bit unusual for some countries because it was like, no, you have to drop all tools, all jobs, and devote yourself completely to full-time study. But with our goal was particularly for women who were at home with lots of responsibilities professionally and personally, that we wanted to create an avenue to formal study that they could work in around their lives. And in the early days, the technology was pretty basic. We used to have a tripod in the back of the classroom, and we recorded directly onto big VHS tapes. And if you were born before 1995, you probably remember VHS tapes. But that technology, we would send out the live recordings of all of our teaching sessions to people all around New Zealand, Australia, and then we ended up with students in the States and the UK as well. And even in the United Arab Emirates, a lot of people who maybe through work commitments ended up in the Middle East. So wherever we could post VHSs, we could enroll people in the program. And so as part of the curriculum, you would get all of it on the VHSs, which was the homeopathic remedies themselves. We'd take a deep dive into each of the remedies that are in common use in homeopathy. For instance, I'm sure listeners have heard of and experienced arnica. And we would have a whole hour to explore what the indications, like the situations you would use arnica, not only for injuries and accidents, which we call acute conditions, but we would also talk about when you might use arnica for somebody who's had a condition for a very long time. For instance, arnica is one of the leading remedies in the treatment of PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder, which you think of a bruise as something that's self-resolving and arnica can help speed up the recovery. But you don't necessarily think about arnica for someone who's gone through maybe a car accident or a birthing trauma even that took place many years ago. And they almost get stuck in that situation. Arnica helps to unstick them. So that's like a thumbnail sketch of what we would do in a deep dive class on arnica. But we would also look at all the other important remedies for treating first aid conditions, acute conditions, but also the long-term problems like the eczema that I experienced, you know, the skin conditions, also mental, emotional aspects of treatment and how homeopathy can help with, for instance, postpartum depression, which is something that was only recognized more widely in the last 20 years. And its occurrence is quite high. And we have so much we can offer.
Absolutely. We're definitely going to be delving into that as well. I just wanted to get back to your the courses and the subjects that you offer. And these days, your distance learning program looks a little bit different. Obviously, all online. Oh, yes. No more VHSs being posted to you. Yeah. All online.
And so the evolution is that we're now completely online. It also means that people can start or stop the course and study at their own pace with a login to our very sophisticated student learning system. So as long as you've got decent broadband, you can effectively enroll in our program. And you get the tutorial support from staff. And assessments are done online or uploaded that way. And the feedback that is quite rapid, so you're not waiting long amounts of time for your results. And also then as you progress in the program, it becomes more and more towards the clinical focus of long-term practice. So we work with you to develop business skills and looking at your clinical training with a mentor. So it's a very comprehensive training, and it's using the best of the technology that's available. And we're looking at improving that all the time so that you're getting like the benefit of individual tuition, but also all the flexibility that comes from being able to study whenever you can work it around your schedule.
Amazing. And Susanna, I'm curious, what sort of person decides to study homeopathy with you? What does that person look like?
Oh, great. Well, the demographic traditionally and still in New Zealand and pretty much in Australia as well is overwhelming percentage of females. And a lot of the demographic we've noticed is people who are a bit more mature. So it's rare that we have youngsters coming straight from school. However, what I've noticed is that this recent trend where a lot of young people really feel drawn to professions that are focused on sustainability, using natural products, particularly natural medicine. And it's like they have a wisdom that belies their age, and they're drawn to the study of homeopathy quite a lot younger in life. And the other side of that is my oldest graduate started the course when he was 83.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And he's no longer with us, but his clientele were mostly his friends at the bowling club. And he used to like hold his clinic at the bowling club.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And he practiced until he was 89. And then then he passed away. Yeah.
You've actually just reminded me, we did have one young gentleman in our class. I think he was probably about 20, this redheaded tall dude that was in our class. So yeah, wonder where he is now. I'll have to see if I can track him down. But that was interesting because in our class as well, we had very mostly women and various different ages. Yeah, I mean, women have been the healers for eons. So it does make sense, hey?
Exactly. And the inspiration is often wanting to be of use to your family and your friends, and particularly to give your children the very best opportunity to grow well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for me, it was when we knew we were going to have children in the next couple of years. And I suddenly realized, oh, I need to arm myself with tools of what I can use when I'm pregnant. Because when you're pregnant, there's hardly anything that you can take. Vitamin C and probiotics is about it. But a lot of herbs you can't even take. They're contraindicated. Can't take a lot of essential oils. They're contraindicated. Can't take most pharmaceuticals. So homeopathy for me was definitely the draw card when I knew I was going to be pregnant in the next few months. And knowing there's something that's completely safe that I don't even have to think about twice, I can use it and know that it's something safe. And we were chatting about stages stages of life before we started the interview, and just how it always blows my mind when people say, oh, I didn't know you could use homeopathy for that. And I'm like, you can use homeopathy for anything. Doesn't matter what stage of life you're at. And I'm wondering if maybe you can share a couple of case studies with us, Susanna, of how homeopathy has been used in various stages of life.
No, absolutely. And one of the things I was thinking about is that it's cradle to the grave.
Yes.
And it's
pre-cradle.
And pre-cradle, absolutely. And in fact, the use of homeopathy around pregnancy and birth really was and is a specialty that I developed. And some of that came out of the fact that all of my friends were having babies and asking me, oh my gosh, I've got nausea during pregnancy. What can I do to help with that, et cetera, et cetera. And also like after birth and throughout all of life, or people who say, look, I'm having very strong conventional medications, but I can't come off of those, or I have a bad diagnosis. Looks, you know, I'm in palliative care. Is there anything homeopathy can do to help? And absolutely, even at the end of life, homeopathy is really quite useful. I'll share with you one that is more closely related to birth. And this was an experience that I had where I was attending a birth where there were midwives and medical staff on hand. And after the baby was delivered, there was a sudden hemorrhage, which is called a postpartum hemorrhage. And the midwife pulled the bell to get other staff to come running because it was a major emergency. And the woman who was my client said, is there anything you can give me homeopathically? And I said, well, I'll give you some Arnica. And Arnica 200, and it was just sitting, the little pillule was sitting in her mouth, and the flow of the blood stopped just as if somebody had turned the tap off. And the midwife turned and looked at me and she said, I've never seen that happen. Anyway, she went on to study homeopathy for midwives, which was a special course that I ran at that time. And for many, many years, I consulted on cases with her, and she would ring me when she was at a birth and ask for my assistance. Mm-hmm. But she said, I'll never forget the first time that I saw Arnica stop a postpartum hemorrhage.
It's very so lucky anyway, to save their life.
Absolutely. Mm. She said it would have taken me longer to draw up the drug, run to the drug cupboard, get the required medication and get back. And it was just as soon as that medicine was in the woman's mouth, boom, we had the result.
I've seen that as well with my son when he bashed his eyebrow open and it was just pouring with blood. But luckily I had Arnica right there in my handbag, gave them a pillule and it literally stopped in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I have seen that. I completely believe you because I have seen that myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was another one of those. It just confirmed, like I'd had many good experiences with Arnica, which is my favorite remedy because I think for so many people, it's the first thing that they try and they go, wow, that really helped. There must be something to that. So it's a bit of a gateway into homeopathic exploration.
We do joke it's the gateway drug to homeopathy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's very apropos. But on the other end of life, I had a woman who had studied first aid in with me in one of my community-based courses. And this was in New Zealand. She was also a registered nurse by prior training. And she came to me to say, look, we're going off overseas. I'm going to be supporting my mother-in-law, who's very, very ill with cancer. And is there anything that you can suggest that I take with me to ease her suffering situation? Is there anything you can suggest? So anyway, I sat down with her and we worked out a few remedies that I knew may well be useful. And one of the things that she said to me after she came back, she said, oh, I have some really good things to share with you. She said, first of all, my mother-in-law did very well on Arnica, once again, when she was extremely exhausted. And this would help with her energy, especially when she was wanting to talk to grandchildren or interact with people because people were coming to say goodbye. Mm. And they had set up a hospice situation in the home. So she said, but the best thing, she said, as the mother-in-law got more and more ill and she was on her way out, she gave her a medicine that we've used in homeopathy for well over 200 years. It's called Arsenicum Album. And it's a remedy that we might use for gastrointestinal complaints in the most common situation. Mm-hmm. But we also use it for tremendous pain. And also when people have a huge fear of death and letting go. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she said, oh, you know, as we got closer, she said, is there anything more that you have to give me? That's what the mom said. And she said, yes. And so she gave her, and we had put it in a very high homeopathic potency, which is also indicated in these end of life situations. And as she said, mom just very gently faded away. And so I'm moved by the story even.
Yeah. So I don't know if you saw me wiping away before.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. You know,
it was such a good outcome. And she's the first one that I've ever heard who said, so thank you to homeopathy for giving us a good home death.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard an idea of a home death. I've been to many home births, but I'd never been to a home death.
Wow.
So that was something, and it was a great gift of her sharing what had happened, but also the great gift of her being there and being able to administer that remedy at the crucial kind of time to help with the letting go. I just one little codicil to that story is that the mother-in-law had been a really staunch member of the union movement. So she was a really hardcore. She'd been in the marches for workers' rights right back into the 1930s, and she'd been blacklisted in the United States by the McCarthy era. And she was hanging in there like she wasn't going to let death get her.
Yeah.
And it was like after she had the arsenicum, it was like she just let go, but it was on all levels.
Beautiful.
So it was almost like she was able to stop the fight. She was got permission to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what can we say after that? That's just so beautiful.
I know.
Absolutely beautiful.
This is like a big breath, you know.
Yeah.
Amazing. And I can share another, though, mundane story.
Please do, because our listeners love stories. That's the feedback that I've had the most is we love the story. So please tell us some more.
So another remedy that your listeners might be familiar with, and if they aren't, I strongly suggest you have this in your home first aid kit. It's a remedy called Hypericum. It's otherwise known by its common name of St. John's wort. But in the homeopathic usage of Hypericum, it's one that we use for injuries to areas that have a lot of nerve endings. So fingers, toes, lips. It's also almost as specific if you fall up and land on your coccyx, which is your tailbone, and bruise that badly. I had one of my clients rang me up and said, we have a rocking chair. And if you visualize the rocking chair, she said, the kids love to get in the rocking chair and go back and forth. Well, they went over the cat's tail. And she said, the cat's tail is hanging at an angle. The cat cannot lift its tail any longer. What should I do? And I said, well, give it Hypericum. And she actually had a dose of the 200C, which is our way of designating the dosage of the medicines. Anyway, she took Hypericum 200, gave it to the cat, and the distribution, because she only had little pillules, which are normally used for humans to put under the dry doses under the tongue. Mm-hmm. And she asked me how to do it. And I said, well, you fold a piece of paper over, use a spoon to crush it into a powder. And once you have that powder, I said, just add it to a little bit of the cat's favorite food, because you know it will get it and it will eat it. So she said she did that. And she rang me up the next day. She goes, well, that stuff's magic, because the cat's tail not only is completely normal now, but even if you pet the cat along the tail, you can't feel where there's a nodule or anything of where the damage was. But she said it was almost like a green twig that it had was bent over and it, you know, had obviously damaged the equivalent of the tailbone in the cat, and also in an area that has a lot of nerve endings. That was a great outcome with good old simple Hypericum, which I have used recently when I was hammering and doing a DIY project and missed the nail and hit my thumb. And once again, the Hypericum took away the pain and speeded up the recovery very quickly.
It really does. My daughter slammed her finger in the door this week, and she actually did it twice on the same finger. And Hypericum, I think I actually only gave her one dose. It was all she needed. It was amazing. But you've just said something else, and this is actually more for my sake, but you just said about putting the powder on the cat's food. And traditionally, we get taught that you need to take your homeopathic remedies away from food, store it away from sunlight, away from electrical appliances. Don't eat for like half an hour, some say an hour before and afterwards. And I have come to the realization more and more, and this is where I want to pick your brain, is our remedies are actually not as fragile as we have been taught that they are. What are your thoughts?
And you and I had the same teaching. And I know that in terms of what we talk about, it's like the ideal situation. And there's also this pragmatic or practical aspect, which is if the person needs the remedy, just take it no matter what, however you can get it into the, like it needs to stimulate the person's energy bodies. If we, for lack of a better word, it's like in acupuncture, they talk about meridians. Ironically, all of the meridians in the Chinese medical system run to a point under the tongue. And this is the point where we actually suggest that homeopathy is best administered.
I did not know that. Wow.
Also, when I worked in the homeopathic pharmacy in London, we would make homeopathic remedies into suppositories for people who could not take an oral dose. And this was, you know, like the other end of the digestive system. So it can happen that way.
I did not know that either.
And the other thing with the administering the remedies in food, a lot of veterinary homeopaths do that, or they'll put it into the drinking water of the animal, as long as they know that the animal is drinking. Because, you know, sometimes cats are very infrequent. So that is a good way of doing it. One of my colleagues who specializes in animal homeopathy tends to use a little tiny spray bottle with liquid doses of the homeopathic medicines, because the pharmacy can make them up specifically in a liquid form. And then in the dairy context of dairy cows with mastitis, it's applied either to the membrane by holding open the side of the mouth, or sprayed on the backside, on the open vagina.
Wow.
So you can get it through the vajayjay as well. So, you know, these are just ways of administering. And it seems to be the mucous membrane is the most important avenue for the medicine to make the stimuli to the person. Also in the dairy cows, if they treat the entire herd, you know, often there's seasonal medicines that they're given to help prevent mastitis, and it's given to the entire herd in the drinking water, in the trough.
Amazing.
And those are just liquid doses that go into the trough. So with homeopathy, we're very pragmatic, and there are almost like the gold standard is to not eat or drink either side. And I say that to clients, it's more important if we're giving what's called more of a constitutional prescription or something for a longstanding chronic illness. In my case, that's what I did when I had my very first homeopathic treatment. I followed the directions explicitly, and I didn't have anything to drink either side.
I always say, if your child has just bashed, you know, something open and there's blood going everywhere up in, and they just had eaten something, don't make them wait 10 minutes before you give them the remedy. Just give them the remedy. If there's still cake in the mouth after the birthday party, just throw the remedy in there as well. It's fine. But I hear what you're saying. If it's more for a chronic complaint, longstanding, you definitely want to make sure that you're taking it away from food and on a clean palate, I think is more important. So just if you've just had something to eat, have some water to clean your mouth, then have your remedy and then just wait a while before you take another dose.
Hey, I just wanted one little thing I want to talk about before I forget is more with animals. because the founder of homeopathy, Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, he was the first one to start using the principles of homeopathy to treat other creatures besides humans. And he wrote the first like essay on the use of homeopathy in a veterinary context. And when I got to New Zealand, I noticed that a lot of the Kiwis, there's a lot of a DIY culture, that do-it-yourself culture, and that for many years, people used it on the farm. And one of my clients, she raised award-winning Nubian goats. Nubian goats are the ones with really pretty floppy ears. And she would take them to the equivalent of the Easter show and had all these trophies. For 20 years, she had used homeopathy on the goats without realizing you could use it on people. So somehow she had been given a book on the treatment of goats with homeopathy and had no idea that it had evolved from a human medical system. So that's New Zealand for you. But yes, I would hear all these great results for the use of homeopathy with sheep, other livestock like dairy cows, but also high-end racing horses, which can be all very high secret because of the competitive advantages. But I can tell you some of the best results in the racing community over there would attribute their results to good homeopathic treatment.
Absolutely. I know that too. Yeah.
So there's a lovely woman called Tineke Verkade, Dutch origin, and who lived in New Zealand since the 1970s, also trained as a registered nurse, ironically, quite a lot of homeopaths that with a nursing background. But Tineke had gotten involved in homeopathy and doing a lot of advice to dairy farmers because she lived in a region that was most famous for milk production. And she pestered me to start an animal homeopathy program because she said, we need the education. We need to see that this is a specialty within homeopathy. And we can also train the homeopaths that are treating humans on how to better treat animals. So in 1999, we launched a homeopathy for animals as an elective within our program, and also led to a specific diploma, which is acknowledged by the New Zealand Qualifications Authority. And it's also approved for student loans and allowances within New Zealand. And it's taught by some specialized animal homeopathic faculty. And Eugenie, you probably remember having classes with the animal students.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because some of the information is very core, like in terms of a core curriculum. Mm-hmm. And so we would look at efficiencies where that applies.
Yeah, absolutely. Materia Medica we used to do alongside the animal students because the remedy pictures were the same, but then it would just be applied slightly differently with the animals or look slightly differently, or you'd look for certain things because animal homeopathy, you can't actually ask the animal how they're feeling. But that's a very funny one. I was chatting with somebody just yesterday and we were talking how often the animal and the their owner needs the same remedy. And I had a client in here recently and I prescribed arsenicum for her and she burst out laughing. She said, I haven't told you this, but last week I took my dog to an animal homeopath and they also prescribed arsenicum. So that was very funny. And then somebody just told me recently about how their horse and them were prescribed the same remedy as well. So it's very funny. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Tineke because I have such a special place in my heart for her. She gave us each a copy of her book when we graduated and she's an excellent lecturer. I'm glad you brought up a bit more about the animal homeopathic training because it's also 4 years for them as well. And it's a really amazing training. And I tell you what, if anyone's listening to this, we desperately need animal homeopaths in Perth because I think there's only one or two. And I'm getting so many animal queries every single day. And I always have to refer them to somebody else because I don't deal with animals. If it's, not that I want to, but my clinic is just so busy. I actually closed my books in February because I can't even help enough people, like let alone animals. So we desperately need animal homeopaths because as people are becoming more aware of the benefits of homeopathy, they realize, hey, I can use this on my animals. And then they're starting looking more natural options for their animals as well. So we need more animal homeopaths desperately.
I agree. And I definitely recommend that if you look for animal homeopaths online that also do Zoom consults, because this is where the technology is allowing us more options in terms of being able to consult. And I think a lot of us practitioners have had to use the technology more, even with the COVID-19 epidemic or pandemic situation, because of concerns about face-to-face meetings or legislative prohibitions against meeting together. So the Zoom consult is not a bad option in terms of being able to get the information and really hear and see. Sometimes even like a physical complaint can be held up to the camera for examination, or you take a picture on your cell phone and send it in.
Absolutely. And homeopathy as a career choice, can I just say, is just so brilliant, because so many businesses have had such a hard struggle since COVID, but us homeopaths, myself definitely, have been busier than ever. I have had to get more homeopaths on board to come and help me. So as a career choice, being a homeopath is brilliant, because there's no barriers to being to your consulting. You know, you can do it from your home over Zoom and have the remedies posted out to your client. It's just such a brilliant career option, I think.
Oh, thanks for sharing where things are going with you, because I'm hearing that same thing, is that COVID has been, in many cases, a chance for people to reflect deeply on how they approach their health, what they can do in terms of prevention, and they've looked into other options, and homeopathy is one that they're exploring in big numbers. If anybody is interested in studying, I'd really welcome them to have a look at the College of Natural Health and Homeopathy, which is based in New Zealand, but can be delivered wherever there is a broadband connection. And that English is your first language, or that you become very proficient with it, because just in terms of the intensity of the study, we really focus on, and we're English speakers, so that is the language of our discourse at the college. But there are also some great providers in other countries. But if it's an English-speaking audience, come and talk to us about your interest in studying.
Can you give us all the links of how people can get hold of you, Susanna, and how can they get hold of the college? And do you still have a private practice yourself?
Yeah, because I've been in practice for over 35 years, the clients that I see now are longstanding patients, but I don't take new patients. What I do is I send them to colleagues, graduates of my program, people that I'm confident of, and ideally as close geographically as I can recommend, or someone who I know does very effective consults over Zoom. And also the other role that I've taken really in the more recent years has been as a supervisor to colleagues who are stuck and would like a fresh perspective, like a second opinion on cases. But the primary focus for me is education still, and sharing my enthusiasm for homeopathy. And also, I guess, the skills I've developed as a manager over the years, running the college as a academic entity and making sure that we stay compliant with all of the requirements for continuing innovations, making sure that our curriculum is fresh. And
beautiful. So can you give us the links on how people can get hold of the college?
Sure. The main contact for me and also for the college is www.cnhh.ac.nz. It's all abbreviations for College of Natural Health Homeopathy. .ac is academic, and .nz for New Zealand.
Brilliant. And I always like to finish up the show with a little bit of fun, and that is asking my guests what their top three remedies are for them personally. So what are the three remedies you can never live without?
Favorite is arnica. For all the reasons
you might say that
earlier been indicated. Another one that is from my birth practice and perinatal practice, and that's colophyllum. And so, some people say colophyllum. It's Latin, so we don't really know what the pronunciation is. But this is one of the remedies that I've used to help get women into effective labor. And it never ceases to amaze me at how well women respond to colophyllum.
I use that one too. And it just gave me the most beautiful home birth thanks to that remedy, because things were not progressing for me. And I used that remedy and it got me back on track. And I had, you know, both my children were home births thanks to colophyllum. So I also say colophyllum.
And I'll put a little animal pitch in there too, because, you know, I've actually used it in bitches who are delivering puppies. And sometimes it's very common for them to have multiple births, not just twins, but maybe six tuplets. And I'm watching the bitch whelping, and she's pushed the first two or three out, no problem. And then she gets stuck. And you can tell that she just doesn't have the energy to go on. The contractions don't seem to be as effective. You give colophyllum and it's like all of the energy comes back focused where it needs to be. The strength returns and then they pop out another couple of pups. So yeah, colophyllum, whichever mammal we're talking about, is definitely another big favorite. The other one that it might be a little bit left field for beginning listeners, but I think you probably appreciate this, Eugenie, and any practitioners that you want to share it with, it's folliculinum. And folliculinum is a remedy in homeopathy that's made from synthetic female hormones. And this is one that I've used many times for women with fertility issues. And there used to be like a joke about all the women that I got pregnant. And the my favorite one was when I ran into a woman who was very far on in her pregnancy, very visible. And she said, because I hadn't seen her for 2 years. She'd come to me with not being able to fall pregnant. And she said, "You got me pregnant with the first lot of folliculinum." And she said, "That's this one." And she pointed to the little toddler that she had. And she said, "Then when we decided we wanted to get pregnant for the next one, I just took some more that I had from you." And she said, "Guess what? This one came along now." So she said, "You got two for me with folliculinum." So yeah, quite a lovely remedy, but I would just put a little parentheses around that, practitioner use only.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've just recently learned another aspect of that remedy from Hilary Dorian, who has this great lecture on the endocrine sarcode. So they're a passion of mine. I love them. And she was just talking about how the contraceptive pill obviously suppresses the ovaries and how the ovaries are the seat of creativity for a woman. And how often when we give this remedy folliculinum, it can actually bring a woman's creativity back as well. And as well as undoing some of the harms from the contraceptive pill. So yeah. It's just beautiful what our remedies can do. It can work on so many different levels and so many unexpected levels.
Not just contraceptive pills, but also a lot of women who've been through IVF.
Oh, absolutely.
And they've had these drugs that really push the production of eggs. And they're exhausted. It's almost like they have ovarian exhaustion.
And morning after
pill. And folliculinum helps to bring back a regular rhythm. And women who've been on synthetic hormones for a long time, very useful.
Sometimes not even a long time, because some people can be so sensitive. They can be on it for like, you know, a month, and then so sensitive they have to go off it. And then we can still use that remedy. It's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you finished off on that one. I love that remedy too.
we have so much to share. And I just want to commend you, particularly Eugenie, for the podcast format. Because I think it just makes a lot of this information available to people, and hopefully it's inspiring. I know that I mentioned my journey with homeopathy is almost 40 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, I am just excited about, as you say, even in the modern world with the challenges we have, is like how many people are embracing homeopathy as a health option. And really find people like yourself who dedicate their time to study, get qualified, and stay up to date.
Absolutely. Well, it's done so much for me and my family and my friends. I would be selfish not to want to share it with everyone else. But speaking of selfish, I do sometimes feel a little bit selfish for doing the podcast because I get to hang out with really cool people like you. I do thoroughly enjoy doing this. So thank you so much for your time, Susanna. It's just been lovely to get to meet you after all those years of seeing your name on all the notes and your perinatal therapeutics booklet. I still use more than a decade later. That's such a good booklet. It was such a great handout at college, but it's lovely to meet the person behind all the beautiful notes that I had. So thank you so much for your time.
It is my pleasure. And thanks for doing what you do in your community.
It's a huge pleasure. See ya. Bye.
Hi, homies. I'd like to invite you to come and join me at the Homeopathy Hangout Podcast Facebook group, where we can discuss past episodes and you can help me decide on new content for the show. Also, be sure to check out my YouTube channel, where you'll find my free Homeopathy at Home 30-minute introduction video, which is perfect for anyone completely new to homeopathy who's ready to take charge of their own health. Just search for Eugenie Kruger Homeopathy on YouTube. And if you'd like to support this podcast, you can make a once-off $5 donation by visiting www.buymeacoffee.com/hangout. Or if you'd like to make a monthly donation, you can visit www.patreon.com/homeopathy hangout. And if you're in Australia and you'd like to purchase one of our beautiful homeopathic kits, single remedies, or one of our amazing combination remedies, visit www.eugeniekruger.com, where you can also sign up to our newsletter so you don't miss out on any special offers. And if you're interested in advertising on our show, please email info@eugeniekruger.com. Thanks so much for listening.